All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Kuf Yud Zayin. A lot to do today. We left off yesterday on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Beis 116b, and specifically we left off by the two dots. In Machmas HaGazlon Chayiv. So Rabbi, remember again, it's 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says, remember the Mishnah said, In Machmas HaGazlon Chayiv. So remember the Mishnah said that Lamaisa, If the robber stole the field, and then the field was stolen by other individuals, who the Mishnah refers to as Masikin or Matsikin, as we saw yesterday. So again, if the other robbers, the second set of robbers, stole from the first as a result of the robber himself, then Lamaisa, again, he is obligated to make the original owners whole. If, on the other hand, it's what the Gemara called a Makos Medina, the Mishnah called the Makos Medina, there's just large-scale theft everywhere. So Lamaisa, under those circumstances, the robber is able to say to the original owners, Harishal Chalef Anecha, your field is there. Good luck in getting it back. So says the Gemara, Hey Chidami, what's the case? Ilema da'ansuha la'ara didei, velo ansula kali ar'arta, Ha Meresha Shamasmine. So we'll say, if we're dealing with a case where we'll call the Masikin came after the robbers, and Masikin only took the robber's field and didn't take anyone else's field. So we already learned that in the Mishnah, in Makos Medinahi, Ilo, Lo. And ultimately, again, if they're not just coming after the robber's field, but they're coming after everyone's field, then again, we know also what that halacha in the Mishnah is. Lo tzricha da'achvei ichvuyeh. Oh, I will say, so the interesting halacha over here, the Gemara says, we'll say six lines up from the bottom, kuf tes zayin amud beis. So the Gemara says, rather, lo tzricha da'achvei ichvuyeh. Look at Rashi, achvei ichvuyeh. Shelo gazlehu atzmo elo shama mi beis hamelech. Shemevakshin ligzol sodos vihira lahem tlukarkozu shalponi. To which the Gemara gives a fascinating idea over here. The Gemara says the case is where an individual hears that the king is looking to go ahead and seize land, and what this individual does, we'll call him Ruvain, points the king's collectors in the direction of Ruvain's land. So, meaning in this case. So, I'm sorry, I keep using Ruvain over. So let me say it clearly again. Ruvain hears that the king is going to be collecting land. So what Ruvain does is he points the king's collectors in the direction of Shimon. So in this case, if Rabosai, he's not actively stealing Shimon's land. Rather, what is he doing? He's just pointing the king's collectors in the direction of Shimon's land. Lishnachri. Now, so Rabosai, in this case, that's a case, the Gemara says, of theft. That would be a case, ultimately, again, where under certain circumstances, so Reuven would have a responsibility for directing the collectors in the direction of Shimon. Lishnachri. Now, another possibility. Hakam asking, what's the case? Kegon da'an su'a akum. Others, Yavosei, the case over here is where Reuven was coerced, right? He was coerced ultimately again to go ahead and give up the land of another. Others say that what happened, they came after Reuven's land, but in addition to Reuven's land, he went ahead and he showed them Shimon's land. So most of the common denominator among all of these cases is these are not direct acts of theft. Instead, what's happening over here is an individual hears either the king's men are actively pursuing him, or Lemaisa again, he hears that the king's men are going to be pursuing him. And what he does is, in order to go ahead and stave off his own loss, he kind of points them in the direction of someone else. So the Gemara says, under certain circumstances, one will be liable for causing another a loss. Sahu gavra da'achve akarya dechiti debeish kalusa. So we'll say there was a particular man that pointed the king's collectors in the direction of the Reish Kalusa's wheat storehouse. Also look at Midrav Nachman. So we'll say, so ultimately then the king's men took the wheat of the Reish Kalusa. The Reish Kalusa brought this man to Beis Din. Also look at Midrav Nachman. Chayvei, Rav Nachman held that he was responsible. I should say, Chayvei Rav Nachman l'shalume. Yosef Rav Yosef achari Rav Huna Bar Chiya. So Rav Yosef was sitting behind Rav Huna Bar Chiya. Yosef Rav Huna Bar Chiya came to Rav Nachman. And Rav Huna Bar Chiya was sitting in front of Rav Nachman. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chiya l'Rav Nachman. Dina oknasa. So they asked Rav Nachman, when you paskin now that this individual has to pay back the Reish Kalusa, are you saying that because that's the halacha? Or are you imposing a financial penalty? Is it a din? Is that the halacha? Or is it a knasa? Is it a penalty? Amar Leib Mas Nisan, he responded, it's a Mishnah. Disnan, Imachmas HaGazlon, Chayiv LaHa'amid Lo, Sada. I remember again, what did the Mishnah say? That if the loss was incurred as a result of the Gazlon, so the Gazlon, if the Gazlon, meaning I will say, if the Gazlon is directly responsible for causing the loss to another, then the Gazlon is going to be Chayiv to get the Nigzal, to get the victim, another field. And we've established that case thing with what Rabbi say, where ultimately, again, not literally that Reuven stole Shimon's field, but rather what happened over here. Reuven pointed the collectors in the direction of Shimon's field, yet the Mishnah says that Reuven is liable. So you see from here what Rabbi say, you see from here that any time that you intentionally go ahead and direct, direct collectors to someone else's field, and ultimately the field is seized, lemaisa, again, the person who pointed the collectors in the direction will be chayiv. So it's a din and not a knas. So the Gemara says, Basar dinafak amr Rav Yossi, Rav Huna Bar Chiya, my nafka l'chamina. So Rav Yossi, after he left, Rav Yossi said to Rav Huna Bar Chiya, what does it matter? Meaning, at the end of the day, what does it matter if it's a knas or if it's a din, right? Meaning, what's the real distinction if it's a knas or if it's a din? To which the Gemara says, Tap of Kofi Yodzayin, I dina iknasa, amalei, I dina gamrinan minei, iknasa lo gamrinan minei. Well, say, to which the Gemara answers, well, here's the difference. You can't learn out halachas, you can't learn out other cases from knas. So if it's a din, ultimately, again, you can learn out to other cases. If it's a knas, you can't learn out to other cases. Umenat teima timiknasa lo gamrinan. Well, say, how do we know that you can't learn out from a knas to other cases? This time, because we learned, Berishona hayu umrim hametameh v'amenaseich. So let's listen to this. We actually had this earlier. In the beginning, they used to say that hametameh v'naseich. Both say, this is the sugya, remember the sugya? Of hezek she'eno nikker. That what happens if you cause unrecognizable damage to someone else? So remember again, the Gemara says, the Braisa said, that in the beginning, the rabbis used to say, that if you are metameh, if you make someone's produce tameh, or menaseich, or you make someone's wine yayin nesach. So also remember again, yayin nesach means you offered it up for idolatry. So the halacha is that you are chayiv for damage in both of these cases, even though what? It's unrecognizable damage. Chazru lomar, they went ahead, they went back, and they said, af hamidame. Even someone about say midame is someone who mixes in chulin into truma. So also remember again, if you mix in chulin into truma, so what happens? The halacha is that chulin now is only edible by a kohen. So because that chulin is only edible by a kohen, ultimately its value, its price goes down. Why? Because the mice again, you can't sell it on the open market. You can only sell it to certain individuals. So they went ahead. So in the beginning they said that if you garden your metame someone's produce or you make someone's wayayin esach, you're chayiv. Then they went back and they said also if you mix in chulin to someone's truma, you'll be chayiv as well. To which the Gemara says, chazru in, lo chazru lo. Now the only reason that they included medame was because the rabbi subsequently went through the process of including it. Had they not went through the process of including it, then what? Then lemaisa, it would not have been included. So we'll say, my time, but what's the reason? Now, when you think about this logically, why wouldn't medame just be included in the category from the beginning? Right? At the end of the day, we already see that medame is like menaseich and is like metame. So why not just include it off the bat? Rather, it must be. So the Gemara says, my time, Allah mishum diknasahu, uknaso lo gamrinon mine, to which the Gemara says, well, the reason must be is because we'll say, this is dealing with a knas, and you can't learn out one knas from another. See, even though, again, logically, I would have thought that once they went ahead and they said that Shechai from a Tameh Menaseich, that Medame should be included, but you can't make a logical argument to include Medame. Rather, it's only included after we go through the halachic process. To which the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Lo, Meikar Sabri Lehev Sim Ruba Chashashu, Lehev Sim Muat Lo Chashashu. Perhaps the logic is like this. In the beginning, Chazal only thought that we should be concerned with cases that cause significant loss. So, we'll say when you're metame someone's produce, or you're menaseich someone's wine, that causes a significant loss. Medame causes a loss, but not necessarily a significant loss. Meaning, it definitely goes down in value, but lav dafka dramatically. So, I might have thought, therefore, that case shouldn't be included. And the end of the ulubasov, sorry, lehev simuat tami chashashu. And in the end, they said, no, even for a small loss, you have to be concerned. So, the marseini, is that so? Vah tani avod rabbi abin. See, Abbas, we have another version of this. In the other version, it says, in the beginning, Chazal legislated on the case of Metame and Medame. And then they went back and subsequently included Menaseich. Chazru in, lo chazru lo. So I must say, the only reason why Menasech was subsequently included was why? Was because they went back and they went through the process of including it. I must say, remember again what the Gemara is trying to figure out over here. The Gemara is assuming that these are cases of Knossos. So because it's a case of Knas, you can't learn out one case of a Knas from another. Every single case of Knas must be individually legislated. My taimo, lab mishum de lo gamina miknasa, is the reason that ultimately they had to go back and include Menasech was because these are all cases of Knas, and in cases of Knas, you cannot learn out one case from the other. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, meikara savri k'rabi Avin, ulabasof savri k'rabi Yirmiyah." To which the Gemara says, "No, in the beginning they held like Rabbi Avin, and in the end they decided like they held like Rabbi Yirmiyah." We'll say, "What does this mean? Meikara savri k'rabi Avin. In the beginning they held like Rabbi Avin. Watch this. Dam Rabbi Avin zarak chetz mitchilas arba lobasof arba v'kara shira and badi chaso potter." So we'll say, famous sheet of Rabbi Avin. Right, so famous we had in Ksuvis, that's what? That if I shoot an arrow on Shabbos, and that arrow travels Dalar Amas on Shabbos, I'm going to be chayiv. Let's say in the midst of the arrow's journey, it cuts through someone's silk clothing, causes financial damage. So both say, so what's the halach in such a case like this? Remember again, there are two liabilities at play. What are the two liabilities? Number one, there's a Shabbos liability, which is a chiyuv nisa. And number two, there's a financial liability because I've ruined someone's clothing. So what's the halach in such a case like this? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Avin says, I go ahead and I shoot an arrow Dalar Amas, and what happens? And it rips silk in the interim. Potter. Bosa, I am potter. Now, why am I potter? Shahari akira tzorach hanochihi umischayiv binafsho. Because Rabbi said, at the end of the day, Rabbi Avin says that all of this is one continuous act, and therefore what? It's kimle bidirabimine. The moment that I shoot that arrow, effectively, I become chayiv misa for transgressing Shabbos, and therefore, because it's a chayiv misa, therefore, by definition, I am potter for the financial damage. So, I take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Akira tzorach hanocha. So, I take a look at the last two lines that Rashi. V'hochanami hagbas yayin tzorach nisohu. So Rabbi Avin would say that when you lift up the wine, so that moment again is the moment where the theft occurs and the moment where the nisuch occurs, where I make it avodah zara wine as well. So Rabbi would say because the simultaneous liability is there, therefore ultimately again. Therefore, again, there's simultaneous liability. That's the point. Ulubasof, Savik Rabbi Yirmiyah. In the end, they held like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Adar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mishas Hagba Kanya. But I will say, then at the end, they held like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah holds, that's what? It's only from the time, let's say in the case of Yayin Esach, from the moment that you lift it up, that's ultimately when you're going to acquire it. That's when the theft occurs. So, Ichayiv Leimamen. Mishayiv Benaf Sholo Havi Ad Shas Nisuch. Rabbi will say, you're actually not Chayiv for worshipping Avodah Zarah until when? Until later on when you make it into Yayin Esach. So, Rabbi will say, essentially what the Gemara is saying is, in the beginning, we subscribe to the idea of simultaneity. That's why Nisuch wasn't included, because Rabbi will say, you will not be Chayiv a financial liability for making someone's wine Yayin Esach. Why? Because Rabbi will say, originally we thought that's a simultaneity, and therefore, the moment that I pick up the wine, there's a chiyuv for gezel, a chiyuv for theft, and ultimately, again, a chiyuv for avodah zarah as well. You can't be chayiv for a capital crime and a financial crime at the same time. Therefore, again, the financial liability is kind of lopped off. Then afterwards, at the end, we held no, like Rabbi Yirmiyah, who says that Rabbi said the chiyuvim come at two different times. The moment I lift it up, I'm chayiv for the theft, but the chiyuv for avodah zarah doesn't come till what? Doesn't come till later on. That's why originally they excluded Yayin Esach, and then ultimately they included Yayin Esach. So the Gemara says, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Ikla Lebe Evyone. So we'll say, Rav Huna Bar Yehuda went to the house of, Bay Evyone is the name of a place. Went to Bay Evyone. So he came before Rava. Amalei, Klum Maisa Bal Yadaka. So he asked him, tell me, did you have any interesting cases, any interesting cases today? He says, yes, Amalei, Yisrael Sha'ansu Ovde Kochavim Vehera Mamon Chavero Bal Yadi. I had the following case. I had a case, I will say, of where the Gentiles came and they forced the Jew to go ahead and give them money, and the Jew showed them the money of his friend. So, right? So I had the case of the Gentiles came to Reuven, they wanted Reuven's money, and Reuven showed them where Shimon hides his money. Right? So what's the halacha? And again he said, and I said that Reuven was chayiv. Reuven was chayav for actively disclosing or giving over the money of Shimon. Amarle, ahadar of delamarei. So he said, well, you better go and return back that money to the owner. It's another way of saying, you paskin the wrong way. Right? When a Jew goes ahead and gives over the money of another Jew, he should not be chayav for that. This sanyo, yisaw shansu of the gocham and verim amun chadero potter. We'll say that if a Jew was coerced by Gentiles to go ahead and hand over money, and instead he showed them the location of the money of another Jew, he's going to be potter. Ve'im notal v'nasan biyad chayav. And we'll say, so here's the distinction. If Lamaisa, so again, the Gentiles came to Reuven, said, Reuven, give us money. And Reuven went ahead and showed them, right? He already told them, he disclosed the location of Shimon's money, and they take Shimon's money. Reuven will not be chayav for that. But if Reuven actively took them to Shimon's money, handed them over Shimon's money, then what? Then in that case, Reuven will be chayav. Amar Rabba, Rabba said, Imhera ba'atzmo, Rabba said, no, if Reuven shows them actively where Shimon's money is located, Kinasa v'nasan biyad. So we'll say again, if Reuven just tells them the location, that's one thing, then he won't be chayiv. But if Reuven mamish takes them and shows them exactly where the money is, then that's the equivalent of what? That's the equivalent of handing over Shimon's money with Reuven's own hands, and Reuven will be chayiv for that. So the Gemara says, gavra dan su ovdei kochavim, v'achvi achamra d'rav mari b'rei d'rav pinchas b'rei d'rav chista. So we'll say, so there was a Jew who was forced by the Gentiles to go ahead and hand over money. And what did the Jew do? He showed them the wine cellar of Rav Mori. So Rav Mori apparently had a very nice wine cellar. So he showed the Gentiles to the wine cellar of Rav Mori, and they took Rav Mori's wine. Amarle, Dari Va'amta Bahadon. So the Gemara says, So Dari Va'amti, Si'i Va'holi Chimanu Lebeis HaMelech. So we'll say, so what happened? So they said to this Jew, okay, now you pick up the wine barrels and carry it for us to the king's palace. Va'amti Bahadayu. And the Jew complied. So Asla Kamed Ravashi. So we'll say, so they came before Ravashi. So Rav Mari brought this Jew to a Din Torah, because this Jew handed over my wine, Rav Mari said, to the Gentiles. So they brought him to the Beis Din. And what happens? Also, they came before Rav Ashi. Patrine. Rav Ashi patred him. Rav Ashi said to the Jew, your pater. But they said to Rav Ashi, how can you pass? And I say, what do we just learn? What do we just learn? That Lamaisa, again, if the Jew actively hands over the money of his fellow Jew to the Gentiles, then what? The Jew will be chayiv. What happened in this case over here? So the Jew took the Gentiles to the wine cellar of Moriah. Then Rabbi say, what did he do? He carried the barrels back to the king's palace. So the Gemara says, so when do we say that a Jew is chayiv for actively handing over the money of a fellow Jew? That's only when the Gentiles did not have a hold on that money in the beginning. In this case over here, the Gentiles were already in the wine cellar. Because they're already in the wine cellar of Rav Mari, therefore what Rabbos say? Therefore, effectively, they had ownership over the wine, right? Effectively, again, they had possession of the wine. The fact that this Jew actively carried it for them to the king's palace, that's not considered as if the Jew handed over the wine biadayim, because the Gentiles were already effectively in possession of the wine. So the Gemara says, "Esi Rabbi Abba the Ravashi, Rabbi Abba is Kashrut Ravashi. Amar lo onas hoshit li pikiya amir zeh o eshkel anavim zeh vahoshit lo chayiv." So Rabbi say, if the Gentile extortionist said to the Jew, "Hand me that other Jew's." His pakia amir, both say pakia means like a bundle of straw, or eshkol anavrim, or cluster of grapes. And what happens? And the Jew vahoshitlo, the Jew hands it over to the Gentile, chayiv. The Jew will be chayiv. So both say here's a case. Huh? So both say this was in the country we just said before is if the Gentile pretty much is already there and he's just asking the Jew to go ahead and carry the item or transport the item, the Jew is not considered as if he's actively handed over the property of his fellow Jew to a Gentile. But yet here we see that's not the case. To which the Gemara Tachum asking, and what's the case here? Kigon dekoy betre avi dinara. Or we'll say the case over here is where the Jew and the Gentile are on two separate sides of the river. The Gentile can't reach the object himself. The way for him to reach it is how? Is if the Jew hands it over to him, and therefore I get a both say in that case where the Gentile can't access it himself, and it's the Jew who hands it over to him, Einachinami, the Jew will be chayiv. You can read this into the right. It says, of Hoshit lo tani tain. Because it says, hand it to me. So what's say, hand it to me sounds like what? I can't reach it myself. You have to hand it to me. Shmami, I will say, so indeed learn from this. So what's say, saloch lamaisa, what the Gemara extrapolates from this is the following. If a Jew goes ahead and shows the Gentile authority, the Gentiles, where another Jew's money is, he discloses a location, he will not be chayav for that. We'll say it's not such a chiddush because that's grumma, it's causative damages. He won't be chayav for that. If he actively hands over another Jew's money to the Gentiles, he will be chayav for that. If the Gentiles already have the money, essentially effectively have possession of it, but they ask the Jew to transport it and he complies, halacha lemaisa, that's not considered as if he handed it over himself, since the Gentiles already have possession of it. Ha'u shusa dabu manse ala beitrei. So we'll say there was, Rashi says, Shusas mechmoros adogim lechayas. There was a particular trap, an animal trap, that two Jews were arguing over, meaning each claimed possession of the trap. So hai amar didihu, v'hai amar didihu. So we'll say this is preparing us above Matsya Shnaim Ochsim Batalis, Zomerin, right? So there are two Jews, in this case they're not in possession of it though, right? Two Jews arguing over a trap. This one says it's mine, and this one says it's mine. Azul chad minayu umasra leparhagna de malko. One of the Jews went ahead and handed over the trap to the officers of the king. Amr Abayi says, Yochol lomar ana ki masri didi masri. Abayi said, look, the Jew handed it over. He can say, look, when I hand it over, I'm handing over my own trap. This is mine. I believe it's mine. So I have every right to hand it over to the king. Amr le Rava v'chol kemine. Do we believe him to that extent? Elo Amr Rava mishamtino le ademai sile v'koy bedina. Rather, we go in and we put him in shamt. We excommunicate the individual until when? Until he goes ahead and gets it back from the king, brings it to Beis Din, or brings the case to Beis Din, and let Beis Din adjudicate it. So listen, this is a wild story. So there was a man, Tavaboy Achve. So Atibna de Chavre. So we'll say there was a particular man who wanted to go ahead and show the authorities the straw of his friend. In other words, he wanted to give over the property of his friend to the Gentiles. Okay. So they came before Rav. Amar le, lo tachvi velo sachvi. So he said to the man, don't disclose where your friend's possessions are to the Gentiles. You can't do that. You can't go ahead and actively financially endanger your friend. Amar le, mechavina o mechavina. To which the guy said, an incredible, incredible chutzpah to Rav. So Rav said, do not disclose the location of your friend's wealth to the Gentiles. And the man said, you better believe I'm going to do it. I'm going to show. So listen to this, it's wild. Yosef Rav Kana kame dirav. So this man, Rav Kana, was sitting right there. Shante lekue mine. Rav Kahana broke the guy's neck. Rav Kahana killed this guy. He killed this guy. So Kari Rav Iluye. So we'll say Rav said about Rav Kana this pasuk. Banecha olfu shachvu berosh kolchutzos kisom michmar. Literally, your children have fallen down. They rest at the rosh kolchutzos kisom michmar, like a shar. Kisora says a shar michmar, in a trap. Matua ze kevan shenaf of a michmar. Imarachman Allah Rabbah says, just like this animal, once it falls into a trap, the person who trapped it has no compassion and is going to kill it. Af mamon shal yisrael kevan shenafa biat ovdei kochavim. In merachmin alav. So Rabbah says, once the money of a Jew falls into hands of ovdei kochavim, the ovdei kochavim have no rachmanis on him. Rabbah says, what does this mean? So what they understood was, this individual is what we call in halacha a moser. He was someone who was turning over the Jews to Gentiles. Rabbah says, now the concern over here that they're echoing, and obviously this is a societal issue that they're dealing with, is that once you hand over the money to the Jews, to the Gentiles will keep on oppressing the Jew to the point that there's a threat to the Jew's life. Therefore, the Gemara is saying that Rav Kahana acted appropriately in killing this individual because Lamaisa, he represented a threat to a fellow Jew and by extension a threat to the community. Now, I want to be clear. So when you see stories like this, again, as I mentioned before, these are reflective of societal realities that they're dealing with. Either oppressive individuals, oppressive regimes. In no way could one paskin halacha l'maisa from this particular case. Again, there's definitely the laws of Mesira, about Jews handing over other Jews to the government. There are definitely certain circumstances where it's permitted, certain circumstances where it is obligatory, and certain circumstances where it is prohibited, depending on all depending on the circumstances. But nevertheless, in this case, Rav Kahana felt this individual represented a threat to the community, and he killed him.
Then why isn't it Pikuach Nefesh for all the other cases before where they were showing the money? Why couldn't somebody say,
because,
I'm going to punch you because I'm worried that the king's agents are going to kill me?
Oh, say Nachinami. If somebody claims that, then Nachinami. That you can do that, except there's only one problem. If I save my own life by taking your money, I'm still chayiv to pay you money. Who says I'm not chayiv to pay you money?
It's a friendly regime, and this is dangerous.
Right, and also, by the way, correct, there are different cases. They're just also different circumstances. That's why Dafka gave that introduction, to indicate that this is reflective of certain societal circumstances, and those societal circumstances may or may not have been present in previous cases. So says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Kahana, Ad Ha'idna, so we'll say, so now, remember, Rav Kahana just killed this guy. So Amalei Rav Kahana, Ata in the Havu Parsoi Dolo Kaptu. So we'll say, actually, it's changed over here. It's changed. So Amalei Lirav Kahana. It's changed over there. They said to Rav Kahana, Ata in the Havu Parsoi Dolo Kapti Ashrichos Damim. So we'll say, up until now, Rav Kahana, when we were previously ruled by the Persians, you would have been fine because the Persians didn't care about people who kill other people. Hashta Ike Yavani, now we're under the rule of the Greeks. They kaptu ashvichos tam, and they have rules. And when they hear that you just broke this guy's neck, they're going to come after you. So va'amri miradin, they're going to claim that you're a murderer. Kum sak. I can repeat it if you want. You don't have to send Siri. You don't have to send Siri. Just, you know, Raphael, talk to me straight. So says the Gemara. From Va'amri, Mardin. So they're going to say, you know that Mamish is Chavli Moshiach, when even Siri is involved. Va'amri, Mardin. So I'll say, so what happens? So it says to Rav Kahana, you need to get out of town because they're going to accuse you of being a murderer. Kum sak la'aradi Yisrael. Now, both, remember, all of this is happening in Bavel. So they said, you better go to Eretz Yisrael. Go to Eretz Yisrael. V'kabe alach delo tikshil Rabbi Yochanan shevesh. Now, both, it's interesting. But they said to Rav Kahana, listen, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan is Rosh Yeshiva, take it upon yourself not to ask questions for 7 years. They're both saying, now, why exactly he was given this advice? But Pashtos, what it also means is keep a low profile. Keep a low profile. Don't ask questions for 7 years. So we'll say, so what happened? Rav Kahana shows up in Eretz Yisrael, and he finds Reish Lakish going over the shir. So Reish Lakish was chazering the shir of Rabbi Yochanan with the other Rabbanon. Amar lehu Reish Lakish Necha. So he said to the Talmidim, where could I find Reish Lakish? Amar lehu Amai. So they said, well, why are you looking for Reish Lakish? Amar lehu, because Rabbi Yochanan said, Hai Kushya, Hai Piruka. Because I heard Reish Lakish talking, and I have this question and that question, and I have this answer and that answer. Amr Reish Lakish, Amli Rabbi Yochanan, Ari Allah Mi Babel La'ayin Marbe Mesifte Delemachar. So what's it is? So he introduced Rabbi Reish Lakish to Rav Kahana. Reish Lakish went to Rabbi Yochanan. He said, Rabbi Yochanan, a lion has come back, has come up from Bavel. So we'll say, so Reish Lakish was able to perceive from Rav Kahana's questions that Rav Kahana possessed incredible intellectual prowess. So he warned Rabbi Yochanan, you know, you better really prepare for the shir tomorrow, right? Because the lion has come up from Bavel. You better make sure that you're well prepared. Lemachar osva bidara kama. So Rav Kahana said, the next day they went ahead. The next day they put Rav Kahana in the first row of the Beis Medrash. They put him in the first row of the Beis Medrash. So remember again, what was Rav Kahana's explicit instructions? What were his instructions? Don't ask questions for the 7 years. So they put him in the front row. So what happened? So Osvod b'darakamal kamei Rabbi Yochanan Amr Shmaisis Avalo Akshi. So Rabbi Yochanan is giving the shir. And amazing, no questions. So Shmaisis Avalo Akshi gave a second shir, no questions. So they said, all right, well, you know what, Reish Lakish, we think this guy's not such a lion, right? He's not such a lion. So what happened? So Anchase Achure Shava Dori. So they moved Rav Kahana back 7 rows. In other words, the front rows were reserved for the brightest and best students. So when they saw that, Rav Kahana's not asking any questions, they moved him back 7 rows, and they kept moving him back. Meaning, the more he didn't ask, the more they moved him back. Ad Osvei Bidara Basra. Until he was sitting in the last row of the Beis Medrash. So Aresh Arisha Amarta Naase Shual. So for Rabbi say last the wide lines on the bottom. First of the last wide lines. So Rabbi Yochanan says to Shlakish, that lion, I think he's more of a fox. Meaning I don't see what's so great about this guy. So Yehi Rava Dahani Shavadari. So excuse me, Amar Yehi Rava Dahani Shavadari Lahavu Chiluf Shavashnin. So Rabbi say Rav Kahani hears what's going on and he says, let it be that my being moved back seven rows should be the equivalent of, or should be a fulfillment of my 7 years of silence. The Amrli Rav, Kum Akare, he, so what happened? So Rav Kahana took that the moving back of the seven rows was the equivalent of the silence for the 7 years that Rav had imposed upon me. Kum Akare, Rav Kahana gets back on his feet. Amrle Nehadar Mar Bereisha. So he said, would Rebbe would mind repeating the shir? Rebbe Yochanan would mind repeating the shir? Amr Shmaisesav Va'akshi. Rebbe Yochanan repeated the shir. Rebbe say, what happened? Rebbe Yochanan came up with all kinds of incredible kashas. V'ukme Bidari Kamo. Ultimately, again, they moved Rebbe Yochanan Rav Kahana back to the front row. Amr Shmaisesav Va'akshi. Rebbe Yochanan Havayasiv Asheva. I'm sorry. So fine, they kept moving him forward. Rabbi Yochanan Havayasiv Asheva Bistarki. So we'll say Rabbi Yochanan used to sit on seven rugs. He would sit on waiting for seven rugs piled on top of the other. Shalfei lechada bistarka mituse. So we'll say what happened. Rabbi Yochanan felt bad about the way that he felt that he had slighted Rav Kahana's kavod. Because Rav Kahana didn't ask any shas, he moved him back seven rows, then moved back to the base medrash. So Rabbi Yochanan felt bad that he slighted Rav Kahana's kavod. So what did he do? Shafei leichad bistakami to say. He took out one of the rugs from under him. Amr Shmai says, Sava Akshi. I will say the next day, Rabbi Yochanan gave shir, and Rav Kahana asked another kasha. And what happens? I will say, every time Rav Kahana gave, excuse me, every time Rabbi Yochanan gave shir, and Rav Kahana asked the good kasha, what happened? So Rabbi Yochanan would remove one of his rugs as a way of showing that he was so sorry for the mischief, for the perceived slight to the kavod of Rav Kahana. Well, say, until what happens? Ad shafei kulo bistarki mituse ad yosef al ara. So we'll say, what happened? What happened? Until mamish, the day came that what? That literally Rabbi Yochanan was sitting on the ground. What was the problem? Rabbi Yochanan gavra sabahava umisarche gavine. So we'll say Rabbi Yochanan was a very old man already, and his eyelashes were very long. Rashi says misarche gavine gabos einav kedolim umechasin einav. His eyelashes were very long, and they obscured his vision. So we'll say, you know, the Mashal points out whether that literally means that his eyelashes are long, or it just means that he had very poor vision. He had very poor vision. What happens? Armaluhu dolu li einai va'achzie. So he said to his attendants, lift up my eyelashes because I want to be able to see this guy Rav Kahana. So what happens? Va'achzie dolu le b'machalta dekaspa. So we'll say apparently they had machalta dekaspa means they had like a silver pin where they used to lift up Rav Kahana's Rav Yochanan's eyelashes. Chaza de parte sefuse. Sober achuch kamechayich be. So I will say, what happened? So apparently Rav Kahana had a split lip. So Rashi points out over here, Rashi says, nikra sefaso aide maka. So apparently, at some point in time, Rav Kahana was punched, or was hit, or was injured, and his lip was split. So what happens? Rabbi says, so follow this story. So Rabbi Yochanan, who is very, either his eyelashes, meaning very poor vision, brings Rav Kahana close to him, wants to see Rav Kahana, he sees his lip is split. The split lip with his poor vision looked like Rav Kahana was smirking. It looked like a smirk. So what happened? So Sabar Kamechayich Bey, Cholosh Daite, Vinach Nafshe. So Rabbi says, so what happened? So Cholosh Daite means Rabbi Yochanan was very distressed, because he thought that Rav Kahana was mocking him. He thought that he was mocking him. He thought that he was smirking, that he was mocking him. Cholosh Daite, as a result, ultimately, again, Rav Yochanan gets very upset. V'noch nafshe. Rav Kahana died. Rabbi said, you know that there's a very serious issue with causing tsar, causing pain to great Tamidei Chachamim, to great, these are leaders of the generation. So because, again, Rav Kahana caused pain to Rav Yochanan, albeit Rav Kahana didn't do anything, right? It was just that ultimately, again, Rabbi Yochanan misunderstood the facial expression, so Rav Kahana died. Lemachar Amr Luhu Rabbi Yochanan Rabbanan Chazisu LeBavla Hechi Avid. Did you see the way that Babylonian smirked at me? Amr Luhu, no Rabbi, you made a mistake. Darche Hachi. He wasn't smirking at you. He has a split lip. Right? We'll say, by the way, just the Musar is incredible. Musar is incredible. How sometimes, again, we'll say, we think we see things in a certain way, but in reality, that's not the way it is. But why do we see it? Why do we see it that way? Because often in life, we'll say, our vision is impaired. Ultimately, we think we're seeing 20/20, but sometimes we're emotionally or worldly blind. We just don't see things for what they are. They said, Rebbe, Rav Kahana was not smirking at you. He has a split lip. That's the way the guy looks. So what happens? Bosa, this is wild. All legabi ma'arta. So Bosa said, in the interim, they had buried Rav Kahana. So Rabbi Yochanan went to the burial cave. Chaza dahava on the base. Chaza dahava. Hadra le'achna. So we'll say there was a serpent. There was a serpent, a large serpent that was guarding the entrance of the cave. Amr le'achna, achna, pasach pumeich v'ikhane sarat eitzatam. It's serpent, serpent. And we'll say, open your mouth and let the Rebbe go and visit his Talmud. V'lo pasach. But the serpent wouldn't move. Yikhane ischavra eitzachavar. Fine. So Rav Yochanan said, let one scholar visit another scholar. What happens? Lo pasach. The serpent will not move. Yikhane's Talmud eitzaharav. So let's listen to this. Rav Yochanan said, let a Talmud in to visit his Rebbe. Pasach lay. Then the serpent opened his mouth, ultimately released the tail from his mouth, because it was said, the way, just the image, by the way, is that the serpent was coiled at the entranceway of the burial cave. So its tail was in its mouth. So ultimately, when Rav Kahana refers to himself, which is when Rabbi Yochanan refers to himself as a Talmud of Rav Kahana, that's when the serpent releases his tail and Rabbi Yochanan is able to go in. Boy pasach le. So what happens? Boy rachami va'okme. So Rabbi said, Rabbi Yochanan davened, and he brought Rav Kahana. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yochanan davened, and he brought Rav Kahana back to life. Amar le. Just so you also understand, just not that this makes the story any less miraculous, but understand times of the Gemara. So remember, they had burial caves. What did you do in burial caves? They used to put bodies on slabs, meaning they weren't necessarily buried bodies in the earth immediately. They would put the bodies on slabs. When the bodies would decompose, they would then collect the bones, and they would go ahead and bury the bones. That's why the Gemara talks about, we learned some more, called likut atzamos. So likut atzamos is the collection of bones. They would offer burial bones, bury bones in family plots. You could see this, by the way, if you ever go to the kever of Shimon HaTzadik, right, in East Yerushalayim. So right next to that, right next to the kever of Shimon HaTzadik, they have a fascinating place. It's called the Ma'aras Sanhedrin HaKitano. So what it is it's a massive burial cave. They discovered a massive burial cave, and you could see literally, you could go in there, and you could see the slabs where they used to put the bodies. So it's possible that in this case, Rav Kahana wasn't buried, meaning his body is sitting in that cave. It makes it no less miraculous. But again, so Rabbi Yochanan goes there and brings him back to life. Had I known that your lip was split and you weren't smirking at me, I would have never, chas v'shalom, been distressed. Now come back with me to the Beis Medrash. So let's listen to this. So Rav Kahana says to Rav Yochanan, if you could promise me that I'm not going to die again, right? If you could daven for rachamim for me, that I'm not going to die again, then fine, I'll come with you. Ve'ilo lo azona. But if not, ultimately, again, I'm not going back. Why? Ho'il v'cholav shaita cholif. Since the hour has passed, the hour has passed. So we'll say, now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Imatis l'mivi rachamim v'sulo shachivna. So according to Rashi says, Rav Kahana says to Rabbi Yochanan, listen, if you could promise me that you're not going to get upset at me again in the Beis Medrash, then I will come back with you. But if this is going to happen again, then I'm not coming back. Listen to this, Rabbi Yochanan. So he says, according to Rashi, what Rav Kahana is saying to Rabbi Yochanan is the following. I appreciate, thank you for bringing me back to life. Now, here's what I have to ask you. If you're going to be patient with me, I'll come back to the Beis Medrash with you. if you're not going to be patient with me, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to go home because, again, I don't want to risk, once again, upsetting you, getting you angry, and you and Achalisha's das as a result of me, and me dying as a result of that. So, the Gemara goes right there. Tayre ukme sheli kol sveka dahavulei upashitnu nahalu. So, we'll say, ultimately, again, so he brought him back to life, and he asked him all svegos, all questions that he had. Rashi says, "Tayre he kitzur mishnaso." So what happens? Say, and Rabbi Yochanan asked Rav Kahana all questions that he had in learning. Upashatna nehile, and Rav Kahana was successfully able to answer all of them. Haynu am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan used to say, "Dilchon amri dilhoni." Rabbi Yochanan said, "I used to think that Torah really belonged to us in Eretz Yisrael. But now I've come to understand that Torah really belongs to them in Bavel." So Rav Yochanan was so impressed with Rav Kahana that he felt that at the end of the day, the real Torah is the possession of the Bnei Bavel, not the possession of Bnei Eretz Yisrael. So let's go a little bit weiter. Hahu de'achvi amtakso drabi abba. So let's listen to this. So there was an individual who went ahead, I will say, and showed the Gentile to the silk of Rabbi Abba. So he went ahead and he divulged the location of Rabbi Abba's silk. Yosef Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Chanina Bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, Yosef Rabbi Yilai Gabayhu, Savar Lechiyuve. So we'll say they wanted to assume that this Jew would be chayiv for disclosing the location of Rabbi Abba's silk. Meha, they wanted to prove the liability from this Mishnah, this Nan. Donas Hadin, Zika Sachai Bechai Besazakai Tinezatarvi Tiresatame, Masha Asa Asui, Vishani Basir. We actually had this before, that if a judge passes a wronged verdict, so what's Taloha? The verdict stands, but the judge is obligated to make the defendant whole from his own assets. We'll say, what do you see from here? That when you cause damages to someone else, you are responsible for causation. So to over here, this individual who divulged the location of Rabbi Abba's silk should be chayiv, even though it was grama, should be chayiv for causing Rabbi Abba a loss. Amali Rabbi Loi, hacha amirav, v'hushan nasa, v'nasan biyad. But that's only true when the judge actively went ahead and delivered the goods from one party to another. So if the judge actively moves the goods from one party to another, that's when the judge will be chayiv. So the Mar says, Amri Lei, zilag avid Rabbi Shimon ben al-Yokim, Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, the dine din and digami. Go to Rabbi Shimon al-Yokim, to Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, because they are the ones who adjudicate the cases of gami. Azulag abayu. He went to them. Chaybe mimas nisin. And ultimately he said they're liable based on the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Im machmas hagazlan chayev lahamilosa de acher. So I'll say, if ultimately again, the masikin stole the fields from the gazlan because of the gazlan, so his gazlan is obligated to give the owners a new field. And remember again, we set up that case, I'll say, as dealing with a situation where the thief pointed the Gentiles into the direction of where the field is. So what do you see from here? I'll say, according to those who hold that you are chayev for garmi, that you are chayev for causation, the act of showing the Gentile to the field, ultimately pointing in the direction of the Jew's property, will make that first Jew liable for damages he caused to the second Jew. Now we'll say, now we already saw before, we don't actively paskin that way. The only way we paskin if he just divulges the location, then lemais again he's not going to be chayiv. If he actively hands over the property, he will be chayiv. Ho gavra dava mafkid lekasa de kaspa. So we'll say, so what happens? It was an individual, we'll call him Reuven, who was watching a silver cup, right, or a silver utensil on behalf of another Jew. Saliku ganve iluye. What happens? So the Gentiles came along and they took this silver cup from the person, from the shomer. So what happens? Shakla, so saliku gabe iluye, so thieves came along and they wanted to take money from this Jew. Shakla yahavu lohu. So what did the Jew do? The shomer Jew. So the shomer Jew went ahead and gave them the silver utensil. Also the kamei de rabba. So I will say ultimately again the case came before rabba. Patre, rabba said he's potter. Omerle abayi, one second. Hi, matzil atzmo v'mamon chaveiruhu. We'll say this is a case of someone who saves himself through his friend's money. And therefore, again, we'll say, what's the halacha? The halacha normally is that if you save yourself through your friend's money, you have every right to do that. As Howard was mentioning before, you have every right to do that because it's pikuach nefesh, but you're still on the hook to pay back the money. To which the Gemara says, "Ala Amar Rav Ashi, Chazinan I Imish Inish Amidu." So, what we see is is this a person who is known to possess wealth? If he's a person who's known to possess wealth, adaita didei asu. Then Abba said, we assume that the thieves came not because of the silver object, but rather, again, they came because of the individual's money. And therefore, Abba said, if this individual hands over the silver object that he was watching, he will be chayiv. Why? Because that's called matzil atzlo mamon chavero. That's called saving yourself with your friend's money. Boss, I want to be clear on this. If I'm in danger, I could save myself with my friend's money. I'm permitted to do that. I'm actively permitted to do that. But I'm chayiv to make restitution to my friend. On the other hand, v'ilo, Rabosa, if he's not known to be a wealthy individual, then what? Then there's only one reason why the thieves showed up here, and that's because adaita dekaspa. So they heard that he was in possession of this silver object, and therefore, again, he will not be chayiv ultimately for the theft. Who gavradavim mafkid gabe arnika de pijon shir was another amazing case. So there was an individual who was holding on to money that was collected for pijon shvuyim, for redeeming captives. Saliku ganve iluye shaklo. So we'll say, so what happened? Saliku ganve iluye. Thieves came and threatened this individual. Shaklo yavan hile. So we'll say, what did the guy do? He gave the thieves the pijon shvuyim money. Osulukami dirava. So we'll say, the case came before Rabba. And Patre, Rabba said that the individual is Pater. How could he be Pater? But 1 second, the guy is saving himself ultimately with what? With the money of his fellow. To which Abaye responded, Amalei, and pijon shvuyim gadol mizeh. Remember again, what was the money collected for? The money was collected to redeem captives. The guy is a captive, right? The Gentile presses are literally extorting money from him. So therefore, again, Aloch Lamaisa, although it wasn't the original intended use, but Lamaisa, it was still appropriate use. It was money collected for pijon shvuyim, and it was used for pijon shvuyim. Hu gabra da aktiva asik chamra lemivra. Was another amazing case. So there was a guy, Abbas, I met. It was actually two days in a row of ferry cases. So there was a guy who was traveling with a ferry, and he had his donkey. And what he did was, he stooped the donkey onto the ferry before other people could get on there. So what happens? So coming to Siliku in Shibim Mavra. So he got his donkey on there before people got on there. Boy Latvis. We'll say, what happened? People now got on the ferry. And what happened after people got on the ferry? The ferry was about to capsize. Asu Gavra. Malach leila chamradu gavra v'shadji the nara v'tava. So we'll say one gate came. So let's call it Reuven. Reuven got on with his donkey on the ferry first, and now people got on the ferry. And the donkey, as a result of the donkey being there, the ferry was about to capsize. Shimon comes along, and what does he do? He pushes Reuven's donkey off the ferry into the water, and Nebuch, the donkey drowns. Also, like the rabba. So the Lurgans came before Rabba. Patre, Rabba said, Shimon, the donkey pusher, is going to be Pater. But why should Shimon be Pater? After all, we'll say it's true. Shimon may have been in his right to go ahead and push the donkey off to be a donkey pusher, but Lemaisa, again, he still saved himself with his friend's property. And Lemaisa, again, when you save yourself with your friend's property, you're obligated to make restitution. Suppose, listen to this. So this guy, this donkey, was a rodef from the beginning. In other words, this donkey, ultimately, again, was someone who put everyone else in danger from the beginning. I will say, you know, there's another issue as well with livestock on the ferry, which is what? Livestock's movements are unpredictable. So the other piece also is with the ferry, I have extensive experience with livestock and ferry. So the issue over here is, because the livestock can move mid-trip, Lemaisa, again, the distribution of the weight puts everyone in mortal danger. Therefore, the Gemara says over here, this donkey essentially has the status of a rodef. The halacha of a rodef, Rabbi say, is someone who's pursuing someone else to kill them. The halacha is what? You're permitted to kill the rodef before he kills someone else. So this donkey has the status of a rodef, and therefore, again, Shimon was absolutely in his right to push the donkey off the ferry into the water, even though the donkey subsequently drowned. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Latame, I'm going to Rabbi Tami, Dama Rabbi, Rodef, Shaya Rodef, Achachavir Lahargo. Let's listen to this. If a Rodef, a pursuer, was running after his friend, you know, I always think it's interesting that a Kli's Lashon of Chavero, his friend, right? So his fellow, not really his friend. So the Rodef is running after his fellow to kill him, Vishibra Sakalim, and ultimately, again, he smashes Kalim, Bain Shal Nirdav, Bain Shal Kol Adam. Whether those are the kalim, ultimately, again, of the person he's pursuing, or the kalim of anyone else, Pater. I will say, now, this is an interesting case. So over here, the rodef is running after the nirdaf to kill him, and in the course of running after him, the rodef breaks utensils. Either the Nirdaf's utensils, the person who is pursuing his utensils, or someone else's utensils. We'll say the halacha is the Rodef is Pater. Then we'll say, now why is the Rodef Pater? Because remember, it's Kimle B'Dirabimine. Because what's the status of the Rodef? The Rodef is fit to be killed by anyone who sees him. So because he's fit to be killed, it's like he has a death sentence on his head. Remember, again, whenever there's simultaneous liability for a death sentence and financial penalty, the financial penalty falls off. So because he is liable for a death sentence, we're supposed to say, mamish, b'shas maisa, as he's breaking the utensils, he's punished for the damages he does. V'nirdav sheshira kelim, Rabbi said, listen to this. But if the person who's running away, so remember, this is Reuven running after Shimon to kill him. Shimon who's running away, sheshibra asa kelim shorodef pater. Rabbi says, if Shimon ends up breaking the utensils of Reuven, the rodef, then he's going to be pater. Why? Shelo yeh mamonu chaviv alav migufo. Because Rabbi says, again, his money should not be any more important than his body. Aval shall call Adam chayiv. Listen to this. But if Shimon goes ahead and breaks other people's utensils, Shimon will be chayiv. Why? The astro lahatzil atzma b'mamon chavero. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, it is prohibited to save yourself with the money of a friend. They're both saying, let me clarify that statement. When it says that it's astro, it means it's mutter. In other words, what does that mean? I am permitted to save myself. If I'm in mortal danger, of course I could save myself through damaging someone else's property. But what does it mean? What does it mean when it says asr? It means I have to pay for it. I'm liable to pay for it. Rodef shahaya rodef achar rodef lahatzil. We'll say, okay, now again, a little more complicated. A rodef achar harodef. So we'll say, so watch this. I see Reuven running after Shimon to kill him, and I now run after Reuven, so I am a rodef achar harodef. Right? I am running after the rodef. And what happened? So the Hatzil, Vishavar Kalim, and I, the one who am pursuing the pursuer, I who am running after Reuven, Vishavar Kalim, and I break utensils, Bain Shal Nirdav, Bain Shal Kaladam, whether they're the utensils of Reuven or the utensils of anyone else, Potter. We'll say, I am Potter. Why? Below Min Hadin, Elishin, we'll say, so why am I Potter? Why is Rodif Achar Rodif Potter? So I'm going to tell you very simply, it's not really halachically, it shouldn't be the case. Halachically, even though I'm running after Reuven to go ahead and stop Reuven from killing Shimon, if I go ahead and I do damage, I should really be chayiv. But why am I Potter? Very simple. Elishin, I'ato Omer Kain, Ein Lecha Adam Shematil as Chavera Min Harodif. Because I will say, very simply put, if I know that I am going to be chayiv for financial damages that I cause while running after Reuven in order to prevent him from killing Shimon, I'm going to say to myself, who needs this? Right? Who needs this? Right? For this, I have to be the good guy. In other words, that the halacha has to make it easy, quote unquote, to be the good guy. If it's not easy to be the good guy, if I'm going to get patched in my wallet for going in and being the good guy, then l'maisa, again, no one's going to want to be the good guy. Therefore, we exempt. So I will say, let's just do a little bit weiter. Let's start it. We have a minute. Let's just start it. Shat fanar. So I said, listen to this. If I stole a field, and ultimately, again, the field was overrun by the river, Omer lo harisha chalafanecha. Ultimately, again, I will say, I could say to the victim, harisha chalafanecha, your field is there. I'm very sorry your field is flooded, but here it is, right? I'm giving you your field back. Look at Rashi. Shat fanar. Shaisa asfas anar vikbias svasa vamaim shochakin. The korin tachas hasafa. So what happened? If I'm going to steal property, I'm going to steal property. So I steal waterfront property, right? And what happens? Only one problem is that the water levels rise. We'll say, it's an amazing thing. I just read it. Just as a total aside, they had this article in the New York Times about this building, this skyscraper in California, that sunk 16 inches. That sunk San Francisco. It's amazing. Sunk. Can you imagine that? Well, you can imagine you're living in it. That's like different. Sunk 16 inches. In any event, so I stole the waterfront property. And now again, what happened? The water levels rose. Now the land is underwater. So the Mishnah says, I could say to the victim, I'm doing tshuva. It's elo, it's lichos, I'm giving you back your field. And the halacha is, I can give him back the field as is. So Tana Rabbanan, Hagozo Michalera Veshat, Fanar, Chayev Lahamilosa, the Achad Rebbe Lozer. So Rabbi says, so the Braisa says, if I steal a field from my friend, Rabbi says, now we're going to get into this because the notion of stealing property in general is an interesting one. We already spoke about the idea that Kaka in exists. We're going to talk about that now. But nevertheless, if I steal a field from my friend and the river overran it, Chayev Lahamilosa, the Achad Rebbe Lozer. Lozer says, I'm Chayev to go ahead and give my friend a new field. The Chum say, Omer lo, Hare shalcha lefanecha. But say, just by the way, you know, I just want to point out, you wonder, all kidding aside, Why does the Gemara always use lotion of chavero? Always of chavero, right? Gozel mechavero, rodef acher chavero. Hey, if this is the way you treat your friends, hey. So as I say, Elamai, because it tells you about the achdus of Klal Yisrael, that even when we hurt each other and we wrong each other, there's an underlying foundation of simcha, of ava and reos. There's an underlying foundation of love and unity and achdus. That's the nature of being part of Klal Yisrael. I might steal your field and really wrong you, and I have to fix that. But Lamaisa, again, there's still a chemvershaft. There's still a unity. There's still an achdus that exists there as well. So the Gemara says, what are they arguing about? All right, we'll stop over here with this machlokis. We're going to pick up Emir Hashem tomorrow with the machlokis, essentially about whether or not land can be stolen. Rabbi Lazar says that if I go out and I steal my friend's field and it gets overrun by water, I have to go out and give him a new field. Chachamim say, I could just say, here's the field as is. I fulfill my obligation of restitution. We will explain the machlokas Emir Hashem tomorrow. Shkoyach. Rabosei, just to remind you, schedule for Slichos is, we begin the daf at 5:40 a.m. Shari Tshuva, I'll record. I mean, we won't learn it live. I'll record it Emir Hashem over the course of Slichos, Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That'll be the schedule pretty much through Yom Kippur. Followed by Slichos at 6:25, followed by Shacharis at 6:45. Shkoyach. Siva Chasima Tova. I'm sorry?
Still, the field goes back to David Hamela.